Glad you're here for Bills by the Numbers, where we let the stats tell you where the Bills are at. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming up, who are the most likely trade partners for the Bills in the NFL draft, knowing Buffalo is in the market for wideout help? And what are the merits for trading up or trading down? Is it an all-out pursuit of a receiver, or are there other considerations? And we'll have our one burning question. Hey, you buying or selling? Pleased to have you with us. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker, Bills Insider Chris Brown with you. And with the draft approaching fast and the Stephon Diggs trade in the rearview mirror, we thought it prudent to examine the NFL draft landscape to find the most likely trade partners for the Bills if GM Brandon Bean deems a move up the board in round one necessary to land a coveted receiver prospect, or maybe a move in the other direction, perhaps. But before we get into that, we need to lay out some parameters as to the kind of approach we anticipate from Bean and his personnel department. So the first question, Steve, in the wake of the Stephon Diggs trade, has that void turned the pursuit of a receiver into an at-all-costs pursuit to keep the offense at the front of the arms race in the AFC?
I will say this. At all costs, I would have to say no. They've never been with Brandon Bean. You point this out all the time. Brandon Bean has never traded away a future one for anybody, not even Josh, to get up to the number seven. So I'm not saying that's off the table. I mean, maybe this is a time when they do that for the first time in his career. I don't think anything's off the table for Brandon Bean, but I think what we're looking at is at 28, it's far more unpredictable what happens ahead of them. Who trades in ahead of Buffalo? Who trades out behind Buffalo? I think what will happen is they're going to get close, and they will have – there's going to be tons of conversations leading up to this with all the other GMs up ahead of him and behind him about what possibilities there are. And he'll formulate some scenarios with his team about what we want to do if this happens. So I think they probably have trade up and trade back scenarios in their head and on the menu. I think one of the things you have to remember too, and I think Brandon Bean's brilliant at this, I think it's never perfect in the draft. When you draft, the further back you get, the less perfect it becomes, because the amount of talent at the top of the draft never matches the amount of picks there are. You're not going to get the 248th pick, 248th best player at any position at 248. You're going to get the best punter or something like that, or the ninth quarterback or whatever. The talent doesn't match the order of the picks.
Yeah, there's 32 picks and probably 20 players with first round grades.
Right. Now, if there's 20 players with first-round grades and you're picking 21st, then it becomes kind of need. Like, what do we need? And that's where things start to get jumbled. We don't know exactly what their priorities are.
There's also a chance that your 20 players with first-round grades aren't the same 20 on 31 other teams' boards.
Right.
So one of those 20 guys may get to you.
Right, they may. And that's where you're talking about trading up a couple spots. So I think Brandon Bean will have some scenarios. Now, it's hard and expensive to get somebody to say yes to trading from 28 to, say, where Atlanta is up in 8, inside the top 10. You're not going to get it done, probably. Not without some added juice. But a future one is a lot of juice. This year's one and future one next year is a lot of juice. We've never seen him do that. We've never seen him do that. But this team is in that arms race. And I don't know how much desperation they feel, because I feel really good about the players they have offensively. Certainly the defense is going to be churned over. But offensively, I feel pretty solid. Maybe not spectacular, but very solid.
I think you can argue that's one reason why it's not an at all costs pursuit of a receiver in this year's draft. I think the other reason it's not at all costs is because of the depth of the receiver class. It goes three rounds deep with players. Multiple people have told us this who are plugged into the pre-draft process and do this all day, every day for 9 to 12 months a year, that you can get a contributor who can help your offense in their rookie year as late as round 3. May not be a franchise-altering number one receiver who's going to be a stud for 10 years,
but you're going to get people that can help you. And that's why I don't think there's some giant aggressive move up the board unless Brandon Bean's handed an offer he simply can't refuse and somebody has slid to a point where he can go make a strike. So for me, yeah, it's not an at-all-cost pursuit either as far as I see it. Do you believe with the depth of this year's receivers class that an argument could be made to stay right there at 28?
Absolutely. I think you run the risk, though, of taking, for instance, a guy like Ladd McConkey at 28 when you might have been able to get him at 42, kind of. But you don't have the 42nd pick. Mm. You got the 28th pick.
I don't.
That's what you run into.
Doesn't go that way, though.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't stray from the value of his board that much.
Right. But if you've got Ladd McConkey there at 28 and you've got him ranked at 40.
He's not taking him there.
He's not going to take him there. He may trade back and get closer to 40 and pick up a fifth or a 10th or make the value fit. He'll make that effort. But if he feels that this wide receiver group is going to be good, I mean, he may say, listen, we're not going to take a wide receiver that high, but we're going to take some more of them in the back end when we're going to have some guys we like. So you're going to get a sixth and a fifth, a sixth and a seventh rounder as wide receivers and take a defensive lineman, a linebacker, and a safety in the first three picks of this draft. And if they do that, those first three picks of the draft, Bills fans will absolutely lose their minds.
I think you could stay there, 28. I really do, because I think the depth of this class at receiver affords him the ability to do that, number one. And then number two, I think the quality of the offensive tackle class, coupled with the likelihood of four quarterbacks going in front of the Bills, along with maybe a couple of other positions helping you out, edge rusher, for example, where you might get two or three before the Bills pick at 28. I think it affords you the ability to sit right there at 28 when you're probably dealing with a pool of 12 players that need positions in a pool in front of you, because you don't need an offensive tackle, you don't need a quarterback, and I think we can argue that that's going to take up at least 10 spots in front of you.
Yeah.
Three edge rushers, that's 13. A tight end, that's 14. Maybe two defensive tackles. Now you're up to 16 players off the board at positions you're not even looking at. Right. You add in the three receivers are going to go in front of you. That's 19. Now you're talking about the distance between you and 9 or 10 players. I think it's very likely they just sit right there at 28 and pull from the best of what's left.
And that's right. And with the pool of what's left, even on the value of their board, they're going to be very close to being there. And if they can move up or move back, I think it's more likely, and we've talked about this on The Daily Show, Brownie, I think it's more likely that they jump up three or four spots at the most, or back three or four spots at the most, just to kind of line up the value for where they think the pick is, particularly if they want to get one of those wideouts. I mean, there's going to be, we've been talking about these names for weeks, and they've never changed. So one of those guys is going to be there for the Bills at that spot.
All right, so let me ask you this then. How much do you believe Buffalo's limited supply of premium draft capital this year, only two picks in the first three rounds, complicates Bean's ability to make the moves necessary to get up the board and maybe get the prospect he covets the most if he views a trade-up scenario as necessary?
It does add a layer of difficulty, but I think it opens up the books to, particularly because the Bills are where they're at in this point in history, they got some guys that other teams covet. So it might not be just a draft pick that you throw in. It might be a player.
Mm.
One of the players on their roster that now are established names who are veteran, proven playoff performers on this roster who could be saying, listen, we can throw in this guy. You look at our roster. Who do you need? Mm. You know? And that's a possibility. And it may be one of the reserve players as well that the other team has done work on, saw flat, like a Dorian Williams, who saw flashes of him last year, of his athleticism and stuff. Another team go, man, he's behind Milano and Bernard over there. We could get that guy, and he could, you know what I'm saying? He could play for us. That throws added value because of the depth of the roster at certain positions and how experienced those guys have become. And even Dorian Williams, he's been on a playoff run with this team. They closed out the season with a bunch of wins. He's in part of this culture, this playoff culture here. That adds something of value to him. Mm. So other teams, you could use that as an enticement for other teams. Instead of the draft capital, you could throw in players from your depth to entice that deal and move up in the, or down in the draft or sideways.
Yeah, as I've said many times on our daily show, One Bills Live, I don't see Brandon Bean parting with a future one if he feels he has to make a move. So I don't think that's on the table. But the extra two they got in the Diggs trade, I think if he feels it's necessary to get up somewhere to get somebody who he believes is sliding, Brian Thomas Jr., whoever it might be, and he wants to get up high enough, I think the two that they acquired in the Diggs trade could be in play because, in his estimation, it's gravy. That's the only way I see him using a future pick because it's not something he has subscribed to in his 6 years of overseeing Bills drafts. Okay, with those parameters laid out, we now examine two of the most likely trade partners for the Bills if they want to move up the board in round one. First on the list, Chicago. The Bears have two picks in round one at first and ninth overall. After that, however, their draft capital is extremely limited. They have a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick. That's it for the rest of the draft for the Chicago Bears. The Bears haven't been very active in free agency, and the free agents they have signed have been largely to 1 and 2 year deals. That means they need an influx of youth to groom behind those players. What do you think of Chicago GM Ryan Poles being convinced to move back from his second pick at 9 overall?
At 9 overall, it's a valuable pick, as you know. And you could grab that's it's worth like a mid to low 1 and a 2.
But this is where that future 2 could come into play.
That's right.
Which many people believe is going to be in the top half of round 2 next year because it's originally Minnesota.
That's right. Minnesota is going to be working with a brand new quarterback. All that stuff's new. Minnesota's not, the expectations are low up there. They're going to be in the top 10 of the draft next year. Yeah. You could get there.
It's feasible.
Buffalo. Yes.
It's feasible.
With the 28th pick and next year's 2 from Minnesota, absolutely you could talk a GM into that.
Let's not forget this. If for some reason the Bills want to get up to 9 and they want to do a deal with Chicago, they're not going to be the only team doing that.
Right.
You got all those teams at 11, 12, and 13.
That's right.
That might be looking to get up to get the fourth quarterback by pick 9 if he hasn't gone off the board yet. So there will be competition, but I will tell you this. The Bills and the Bears have already made one offseason trade. Buffalo sent Chicago Ryan Bates for a 5th-round pick. Will they deal again? We shall see. A smaller move up the board would seem to make sense with a team like Jacksonville, for example. Jaguars have signed veteran free agents to fill holes with some big-money deals, including former Bill Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse. They did lose Calvin Ridley to division rival Tennessee, but their cupboard is far from bare at receiver, with Davis, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram at tight end. They could be coaxed to move out of their spot if the fourth best receiver is somehow still on the board at 17, many of whom believe is Brian Thomas Jr. The two teams did execute a first-round trade last year when Buffalo moved up 2 spots to leapfrog Dallas and take Dalton Kincaid. Your thoughts on moving up perhaps to 17?
You can make that happen. Same thing. It's going to take a 1 and a 2. And I'm
your
not
pick
giving
at 28 and your pick at 60.
Right. I wouldn't move off the 60th pick this year.
So, again, use one of those future twos.
You have
twos.
To use one of the future twos. So that,
maybe
it's expensive. It's expensive. Yeah, maybe the second, maybe your own 2 from next year, not Minnesota's 2. Maybe. And that's right where
Brian Thomas.
That's right where Brian Thomas Jr. is supposed to fall. That's where he's graded by most people, right in the teens, 15 to 19. 12 to 20, whatever, however big a range you want to get. He's in there. So that's how good he is. And you got to ask yourself, is he going to make that big a difference to this offense more so than taking a swing at 28 and 36 next year?
No, you're low 2. Probably you're low 2.
Okay. Then it'd be your 60 pick next year. I don't know. That's a hard ask for a kid.
Well, again, I think what comes into play here is the depth of the receiver class. And what is, let's just say hypothetically, on Buffalo's board, Thomas is 4, A.D. Mitchell is 5, and McConkey's 6, and Leggett's 7.
Right.
What is the separation? Are they this close? Like,
right. Like missed it by that much?
A tenth of a percent off in first round grade? Or is there a wider gap?
Right.
Where you see Brian Thomas as your last best chance to get an instant impact difference maker. If he is far and away the last guy that's going to help you from day one and catch 70 balls this year for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, and the next guy you've got at maybe 3 touchdowns, then you do the deal. You do it. But if the difference is minimal, you probably hold your water and sit there at 28 and say, look, I'd love to have Brian Thomas, but I'm not parting with this kind of draft capital to get a guy that I don't think is all that much better than A.D. Mitchell.
Think about if there's three guys off the – Neighbors, Mitchell, and Harrison are off the board, and Brian Thomas Jr. is the only guy left on the board, and he goes all the way to what we're talking about, 17 with Jacksonville. That means – all these other jokers are still on the board. All these other guys. All the, you know, the Ladd McConkeys, the Ricky Pearsalls, the...
Xavier Leggett.
Oh, my gosh.
Xavier Worthy.
It's endless. Xavier Worthy. Troy Franklin. Keon Coleman.
Yep.
I mean, we know the name. We talk about these guys all week. Roman Wilson. Jermaine Burton down from Alabama. So you've got all these guys on the list, and that's the crusher, and that's why this is always so difficult. We don't know why they like Xavier Leggett more than they like Keon Coleman. We don't know why they like Ladd McConkey less than Troy Franklin. We don't know what, you know, or whatever order they are. You pick your own. I'm just arbitrarily naming these guys off. We don't know that, and what the difference is. That's where it's at, and. That's why, and I got Brownie looking at these film, and he likes this guy, and everybody else has them in a different order. Drives you crazy.
That's why it's an inexact science.
Somebody's right.
And we don't even, and for people like you and me, we can watch as much film as we want and like whoever we want, but we don't have the access to these players like the NFL clubs do to also gauge what type of person is this.
That's right.
How does he interact with teammates?
What is his
off the field record?
If we draft him, is he going to turn it up a notch, or is he going to say, I've already made it, I'm done?
Yeah.
That's the question. Because there are guys like both of those. And that's what we don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking at 28, and if that's what I think, you almost hope that Brian Thomas falls to 17 to Jacksonville, because then nobody else has been taken. Then you got the pick of the litter, and it's a deep class. And there's always that chance maybe you find out some way, shape, or form to get one of those, get two of them.
Speaking of that, if Buffalo chooses a volume approach due to the depth of the receiver class, they could just sit there at 28 and take who they like. I don't know if it's likely, but if they can't move up, and the run has ruined their value at receiver, they could slide back and out of round one and acquire an additional fourth-round pick, maybe even a third-round pick, with a team like Carolina, picking at the top of the round in rounds 2 through 4, and possessors of an additional second-round pick at 39, the Panthers could be interested in moving back up into round one, where they do not have a pick this year, and their GM, Dan Morgan, oh, by the way, used to work in Buffalo's personnel department under Brandon Bean. The other option is a team like the Houston Texans. They have a pair of second-round picks and perhaps could be interested in climbing into the bottom of round one at 28 in exchange for their pick at 42, their third-round pick at 86, and maybe even a fourth at 123. The Texans have signed a ton of free agents. They've already executed a trade for Stephon Diggs with the Bills, so do Bean and Nick Caserio talk turkey again, Steve?
They may. They've got pick 42 and 59 in the second round.
And no first round pick.
And they got no first rounder. Now, it's not a huge move going from 42 to 28. On the value chart, they're going to have to throw in a lot for the second rounder. They might have to throw both those second rounders to get to the 28th pick.
Or do 42, their pick at 86, and maybe their fourth at 123.
I don't think the value's there. The value chart says that's a little light.
42, 86, and 123?
42, 86. Now, all three of those, maybe. All three of those, maybe, yes. 42.
86.
Mm-hmm.
And 123.
Yes, all three of those have got a chance. 42 is on the value chart. It's 142. Okay, here we go. 142.
Live math and then, on Bills yeah, by then, the numbers. Where else would it be?
86. 86 is only 49. That's not much, bro.
And then 123?
123. Oh, I don't know if that's enough. 21. That's not enough. That's not enough. Yeah, that's right at it. Right at it.
Yeah.
A little heavy, actually. We might have to throw in one of our fifth rounders.
Give a seven. Give him a seven back.
So, yeah, we would trade one of our
so think about that.
One of our fives with the 28 and get their three at 42, 86, 23. So we'd have 42, 60, and 86.
And three fours now.
And three fours. We would crush the middle of this draft. We would crush the middle of this draft.
Yeah.
But we'd be out of the first round.
It's intriguing. To me, it's intriguing. Because Buffalo now suddenly has three day two picks. You can easily use two of them on the best of the rest at receiver. They could also package the three fourth-round picks they have and jump back into the third round if they wanted to. I think it's a real consideration to take a volume approach to the position. We had ESPN NFL senior writer Bill Barnwell talking to us about the merits of trading down, you know, for the Bills at 28. I think there is some merit to it. I'm not
Here's
convinced that Brandon Bean's going to do it.
Because
he tends to get antsy, not patient.
The beauty of it is that the Bills do have 10 picks. And those 10 picks could, listen, we know, we've seen it. Every one of those 10 picks could be a Hall of Famer at some point, and these teams know it. They're valuable. Now, the Bills need those 10 picks because they need cheap labor. And if you can trade one for three, that's even better. Plus, in a draft where, you know, if you're going to – nothing says they're going to take the, you know, that 42 and the 59, you know, all the stuff we've been talking about, the 42 and the 86 and the 123, and say they're all going to pick wide receivers with all of them with the 60th pick too. But it does give them a lot of players in this – a lot of swings at it in this draft. And with the – and we've said it. First round has been – they've got contributors on this roster all over from the first round, second round. The only guy that they've that has not been on the field is Kyir Elam. And you and I both believe that's going to change this year. Mm-hmm. But in the middle to late rounds, this team has got – they got dudes out of those middle rounds. This team knows how to pick guys in the mid to late rounds in the draft. They get real guys that can really play. And that's been one of the things that has really saved this roster for and bolstered it and allowed them to do the things they've done for the last handful of years.
Spencer Brown, Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard. I mean, run down
Matt
the
Milano.
List. Yeah, Matt Milano. I mean, run down the list. So
yeah, I mean, Christian Benford.
Well, that's late round.
Yeah. Yeah. All these – DeMar is still on the roster. He was a sixth-round pick. You got – You know, and then there's some guys that aren't. Remember Daryl Johnston from that was such a great special teams player and a good defensive end. He played for Carolina after he left Buffalo in the offseason. Dane Jackson, seventh-round pick, has been a starter for this team. So the mid to late rounds have been hugely productive for the Buffalo Bills. And so I like that scenario that you're talking about for Houston.
Volume approach. We'll see if it happens. We move ahead to the numbers game now, where Steve will be tested on draft trade history. What else would it be, right? So here we go. We'll fire up the numbers game, Steve, with question number one, and this is Bills draft history related. We're trying to be fair here. How many total trades has Brandon Bean executed in his time as Bills general manager?
how many total trades?
Total
trades. Those, all right, so the ones when McDermott first got here, those don't count.
Those do not count.
I'm going to say 10.
You are horribly low. Give me a higher guess. Appreciably higher.
No, yeah, you know what? 20.
Even higher than that.
Really?
Significantly higher than that. Total trades in Bill's tenure.
6 years? 6 years he's been here? No, seven. This will be his seventh offseason.
Yeah, we're counting everything from Diggs trade on back.
Yeah, might be three. It might be 4 year. Let's see. Yeah, it might be like 25.
37.
Really? Man, oh man.
37
trades.
Question number two.
Wow. That's impressive.
How many of those trades involved moving a Bills player off the roster? So you got 37 trades. How many of them moved a Bills player off the roster?
All right. I'm going to say, looking back at the draft classes,
Brandon Bean trades that moved a Bills player off the roster. How many?
Doesn't mean we had a draft. Of the 30, how many?
37 total?
37, I'll
how
just
many
say
moved him off the roster?
Moved a Bills player off the roster? I'm going to say half. Say 18.
You're right there. 19.
19.
A little more than half.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going all the way back to moving
right
Sammy Watkins and Marcell Dareus off the roster.
Yeah, yeah.
All those guys. Question three. What is the most frequent round of the draft in which Bean acquired a pick for the Bills in his tenure? So all of these trades of back and forth and picks and stuff, what round did he acquire the most picks in all of those trades, would you say? If you had to guess. You got a 1 in 7 chance here, Steve.
I'll say 5th.
Oh, you're so close. That was second most popular pick acquired.
Six. Had to be the 6th then.
6th round.
Yeah.
10 picks acquired in trades. You were right on it. You were right on it. The 3rd was the 7th round. Question 4, what position was traded or acquired the most in all of Brandon Bean's trades? So existing players only, not picks that became players. Players that went out or came in. What position was the most popular, do you think?
Position?
I mean, players out or players in via trade, what position most frequently went out or came in total?
Corner.
Corner is not in the top 3.
O-line.
O-line was 2nd with 6. You're on the track.
And the 2nd would be linebacker.
No, 2nd was O-line. What was first?
O-line?
You still haven't guessed. The
first would be running back.
No. It is wide receiver. 8 players, in or out.
Wow.
Sammy Watkins. Jordan Matthews.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kalen Clay. Stephon Diggs and out.
Kalen Clay.
He was a returner, but he also was a receiver. But Stephon Diggs in and out.
Can't be held responsible for Kalen Clay. I'm sorry.
I'm not holding you responsible. Bonus question.
Go ahead.
Love
Kalen Clay. Good guy.
Four quarterbacks were either traded or acquired by trade. Can you at least name 2 of them for the Bills?
During Bean?
During Bean's tenure, 4 quarterbacks were either traded or acquired.
Jake Fromm.
He was drafted. That is incorrect.
But he's
traded.
We didn't trade it at the end? Like,
no, he just
gave
left.
Him away in a trade?
No, he just...
Yeah. 1 buzzer's enough.
4 quarterbacks, either traded or acquired. 1 is obvious. He was traded. He was the starting quarterback, and he was traded.
Oh, Tyrod.
Tyrod is 1. The others are a little more obscure. They traded to acquire this quarterback to be their backup for Josh Allen. Acquire him. Not Trubisky. He was only
Case
here.
Keenum.
Case Keenum, correct, from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So that is 2 of 4. Do you want to try to get the other 2?
I'll give it a shot. Let's say
they're pretty obscure.
Kid from Houston. Did we trade him to or from Houston? No, you're not even going to give me you don't even know.
Well, I mean, I think you're on the right track here.
Who's the guy we got? I don't know. Who is it?
A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, okay.
And then the last one.
We traded for A.J. McCarron?
We traded
with the Raiders.
Him. We traded him at the end of training camp.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember they sent him out? And then the last one, they traded away Cardale Jones.
Oh, Cardale Jones.
Can you believe we got a seventh-round pick for Cardale Jones?
Let me tell you something. Cardale could sling it. I was high on Cardale.
He had an arm.
I was the only one, and rightfully so.
I was the only – I don't know if you were the only one.
I was
one.
Alone on my on the Cardale Jones train, but I liked him. I thought he could really sling it.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Bills fans, get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app to play any way you want. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Best of all, you get paid your winnings fast. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Buffalo Bills. We spin over now to our one burning question. With the trade of Stephon Diggs, there is no way for any other NFL GM to mistake what Buffalo's most pressing position hole is. That, of course, being a receiver for your starting conceivably. Our one burning question is, does it make Brandon Bean's task more difficult knowing everyone else in the league can see the giant neon sign that says the Bills need a top receiver prospect for their roster? Does that put him at a disadvantage in your mind?
I don't think so, and think he may be able to play to his advantage because he'll be able to test the market, and it'll be highest bidder. I mean, who wants it? You know, I mean, who's got something out there that will benefit us the most? And he can go out there and teams won't be averse to talking to him. I mean, they'll all pick up the phone and see what he's got. And I think there's some pretty creative people out there. So I don't think it is a disadvantage at all.
I don't think it's a disadvantage either because he had been in this scenario just a couple of years ago. Everybody and their brother felt the Bills needed a cornerback a couple of years ago, and Brandon Bean apparently did too because he traded up and got Kyir Elam,
right,
who was the last corner with a first-round grade that they had on their board. So they move up a couple of spots to make sure they get him. That wasn't a disadvantage per se. They got what they needed in a year where the supply wasn't nearly what it's going to be at receiver this year. So no, I don't think it's a disadvantage either. Mm-hmm. Our closing figure deals with veteran receivers acquired by Brandon Bean via trade in his time with the Bills. We all know that Stephon Diggs was acquired by trade and that he was a former fifth-round pick, but there were four other receivers acquired by Buffalo via trade. Two were former first-round picks, one was a former second-round pick, and the last was a former sixth-round pick. Their names? Kelvin Benjamin, Corey Coleman, Jordan Matthews, and Kalen Clay, for a total of five in terms of player acquisition via trade. There is no other position group acquired in a trade by Brandon Bean that numbers more than one besides receiver. One corner, Rasul Douglas. One safety, Dean Marlowe. One quarterback, Case Keenum, and one running back, Nyheim Hines. Don't rule out a trade for a receiver. That'll do it for this episode of Bills by the Numbers. Remember to subscribe on your podcast platform so you know when we're coming your way again, because when you need to know about the Bills, you need to check Bills by the Numbers. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time, everybody.